Com.
I always found it so amusing when the puppets tried to pull the strings.
I can't believe y'all hadn't noticed it. This is my game. I call the shots. I make the move. You're cornered. You're outnumbered.
And you're vulnerable.
Just the way I like it.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Monday Night Rollins!
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
I'm a very cheap man and I enjoy the inexpensive things in life.
And Lindsay Ward.
We're scared. I mean, I would be too. You're looking at the baddest diva in the WWE. You're going to find out why I am the boss.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Tonight was about evaluation for one corporate Kane. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Raw Post Show live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. I'm Sorokin. That's Lindsay Ward.
We had evaluations. We had demons appearing from nowhere. We had sound guys getting used as weapons tonight on Raw.
They need to add that to WWE 2K16, where you can throw a sound guy.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. So let's get right into Mr. Kane's evaluation, shall we? Earlier in the evening, Ashley from HR was told that she has to evaluate Kane. And, you know, he was like, oh no. See, he was really mad, and I went, oh, happy. And he was so jolly. Have you met the Bella Twins? Have you? Kane being the different personalities is awesome.
I love split personality Kane. It does my heart so much good, just because it's like you just see the joy.
Right. In him when he does it, yeah. And the reason why he's getting evaluated is because someone sent an anonymous email. Maybe it was the Raw General Manager, we cannot confirm this. But then again, that anonymous Raw General Manager may be suspended 30 days. You never know. Talk about that Thursday. So, they have this formal evaluation in the ring, and Seth Rollins is all mad. Oh wait, before we get to that, there's one other part. Forgot about the part, because it's the best part of the show. Kane gave Seth Rollins head on Raw.
Yeah.
In front of the world.
He's very, very handle with a shovel and a flashlight, which I would suspect he would be, given where he comes from.
Yeah, so Kane gave Seth Rollins a present. He had a big old box, and he gave him his head. His severed head from the statue.
That he went to the dump, dug up, and brought to Seth Rollins as a present in a nice red and black box.
I thought that was great.
The subtleness of it is so awesome. It's like Kane trying to be nice while being an a-hole at the same time. It's such a backhanded little thing. It's great.
It just works out so perfectly.
It does.
So back to the formal evaluation. So Ashley and Kane are in the ring. Seth Rollins comes out on stage. He shows this video of Kane being the demon.
None of it, or I should say only one shot recent-ish.
They managed to get the Zack Ryder spot in there.
They managed to get the Zack Ryder spot in there, but you know, you would think, because there's video of it, that you would show Kane dragging you to hell last week. But oh no, we're going to have a nice little video package. But Kane had a retort.
He had his own video package.
Narrated and everything.
It was great. And then, you know, the HR lady, Ashley, who was the legit HR lady.
Yeah, she's a legit HR head of HR for WWE, which is fabulous.
She evaluates Kane and says he's the model employee. He's the perfect employee. And that Seth Rollins is the one who needs to be evaluated because he's very unprofessional.
He's rude. He's narcissistic. He's cruel. He's all these things, which you kind of knew was coming from the way things were going, because Ashley's obviously coming in as a relatively objective individual. So she's seeing Kane being nice and thoughtful and generous and trying to do the best at his job and being very friendly. And then you see Seth, who's not, and is kind of being a jerk because he doesn't know what to do because Kane is in his head and is screwing with his head. But that being said, that doesn't, the evaluation of Seth doesn't go over well, and Ashley books it out of there.
She bails out of there, and Seth Rollins gets all cocky like Seth Rollins does, gets up in Kane's face, starts hitting with him in the chest with the belt, and then realizes, oh no, I just hit the man in with the chest with the belt. Before that, one other thing about Seth Rollins. He's a good person. Did you know this? He's going to heaven because the Pope told him he was going to heaven.
The part of the ranting lunatic will be played by Seth Rollins tonight.
Yeah.
Dean Ambrose is actually relatively sane.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, so he's getting in Kane's face, he drops the belt, and then, well, Seth Rollins is like, screw it, kicks him in, kicks Kane, goes for, as Kane was picking up the belt, goes for the pedigree, it was awkward, but he hits it, and well, Seth Rollins isn't done. He grabs a chair, starts hitting Kane in his bad leg, repeatedly, puts his leg in the chair, stomps on it, EMTs come out, they get the stretcher, and Kane quickly gets stretchered out of the ring. The quickest anyone's ever been stretchered out of a WWE ring. Just pointing that out. So, he gets quickly put into the ambulance. The ambulance drives away. Seth Rollins is all happy. Ha! See what I did? See what I did? See what I did? Then you look at the ambulance. It stopped.
Oh, wait.
And, well...
It's a little red inside, and it's a little smoky inside.
Yeah.
And in the fastest strip job, potentially in the history of WWE, the doors fling open, the smoke pours out, and what emerges? A demon. A demon most pissed.
So Kane sells his leg as he starts walking, and then realizes, wait. I can't be limping anymore. So he picks up his leg, stomps it, all better, and he storms to the ring, and he gives Seth Rollins one of those old fancy choke slams, goes for a tombstone, but Rollins flees before he can. Kane picks up the belt, he goes, ooh, shiny.
Mine. Okay, I have a problem with this just from a logical standpoint, because Seth Rollins, you idiot, you really would not survive a horror movie. You seriously wouldn't. There's a titantron showing you a demon that wants to murder you because you tried to break his leg coming for you, right?
Right.
It took Kane probably a minute to a minute and a half to get to the ring.
Yes.
From where he was.
This is a fact.
In that time, Seth Rollins stands in the ring like an idiot, watching Kane coming for him, and instead of, you know, running, because at first Kane was limping, it's like you actually stand a chance of getting out of the building before he can get to you. He stands there and takes his lumps.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you would not survive a horror movie. You just wouldn't. Like, I get it's WWE and it's TV and that's the whole point, but it's just there's sometimes these situations, like, it snaps you out of reality a little bit, or into reality, where it's like, dude, run. And the best part of this whole deal, Hunter and Steph, nowhere to be found.
Nowhere to be found.
Hunter. Like, your director of operations is getting evaluated. You think they would be there for that? Nope.
No, they only brought her in. It was Steph's idea. Hunter was a scene against it. It didn't work out so well for Seth Rollins.
No, it didn't. But we'll I'm curious to see if Kane sells the leg next week. Friendly Kane sells the leg.
Yeah, Friendly Kane. Well, yeah, probably.
But it will be interesting to see how they play this, because now Seth can be like, see, he came after me. And the automatic response is going to be, yeah, but you attacked him. You provoked him. He had no choice.
He had no choice. That is the best way to put it. He had no choice.
And who's to say that all the other times that Seth has been attacked, in quotations, haven't been provoked?
Very, very true. So, that was one of the big segments of the show. Monday Night Raw, though, started out with John Cena coming out to the ring and saying, it's time for Open Challenge Night. So, it's John Cena's Open Challenge, and they teased it on Twitter, and everyone got excited because it's hashtag Slater Appreciation Day. But instead of a Slater Appreciation Day, it was a New Day. as you heard the trombone play a scene of steam as they came to the ring, and New Day was entertaining as all hell.
Xavier Woods is a treasure. He must be protected at all costs. The fact that he came out playing John Cena's theme. Oh my Jesus.
Yeah, and then they played it again a little bit later before the match started. Kingston even dropped a Team Scrooge McDuck. They'll be Team Scrooge McDuck because they'll be swimming in gold. But Cena came back and said, there's time to entertain, there's time to be serious. If they're not serious, then they will beat he'll beat all their asses. So it was Xavier Woods versus John Cena. Pretty good match. One of Woods' best matches on the main roster. It ended in DQ when the New Day came out. The Dudleys made the save. We got the 6-man tag, which saw the New Day pick up the win.
Hey, it's a New Day.
It is, in fact, a New Day. Another part of the show featured Big Show versus Mark Henry.
My cable was out. I missed this.
Lucky.
I consider myself fortunate.
She is very, very lucky. Big Show knocked out Mark Henry. We had a hype video promoting the match later. We had Paul Heyman promoting the match later. Big Show came out and basically scared off Paul Heyman. No one really bought that Big Show was actually going to beat the Beast.
Yeah, it's like we all know what's coming after this Saturday, which is Hell in a Cell between Brock and Taker. So we all know what's going to happen. It's like Big Show's like, and I have to credit them for trying to build this up, for trying to make this feel like a big match and that Brock can't beat Show and all this other stuff. But it's like, we all know that the Hell in a Cell match is coming. And that's the thing. It's like, I almost wish that if they were going to do it like this, that they would have held off the Hell in a Cell match until after Madison Square Garden.
Right.
Because then it's like, oh, well, maybe Show can beat Brock. But it's like, we all know Brock's going on for Taker. He's not going to lose this match. So it's, Show, you're trying. We really appreciate it, but no. Just no.
Kevin Owens and Rusev fought to a no DQ, to a no contest. Ryback got beat up. Ziggler made the save. Yay? Nothing really overly special. There, Charlotte and Becky Lynch were on Miz TV, and Becky Lynch was on fire.
Becky Lynch is a cinnamon roll that needs to be protected at all costs.
She was throwing down insults after another at the Miz, and it was great. At one point, she grabbed his microphone and just tossed it away. So as you were saying, Charlotte was strong in the promo. Nikki Bella came out, even though Charlotte called out Paige. Nikki Bella talked about being the Divas champion, she'll be a champion again. She agreed with Paige and for a little bit, but not the whole thing, and said Nikki's responsible. Paige said she's responsible because she eventually came out. And, well, we had another shout out. Well, we know why you guys are, you know, where you are because of your boyfriends. Just pointing that one out. And then they got to a 6-woman tag. Becky Lynch, Charlotte, and Paige were a team. Nikki Bella gets Team Bella, which saw Team Bella beat Team PCB when Paige was kicked. Charlotte was sort of kicked into Paige, but Paige really didn't sell it. She walked away. Then Nana came out. Apparently she thinks she can just fill Paige's spot. She got pulled off the apron. Charlotte was distracted. Rack attack. There's your win. Now I'm going to let Lindsay talk.
You know, I had such hopes for the Divas Revolution, and I still do have hope for the Divas Revolution, but honestly, we're squabbling over who started it. And I get that you have to have storylines to move this stuff on, but I'm really kind of over this. I started it. No, I'm behind it. No, I'm the reason for it. Who gives a crap? In the grand scheme of things, who really gives a crap? I'm kind of over this whole team thing, and I'd really rather it go back to individual women going out there and showing everybody what they can do. Showing everybody that the girls can kick just as much butt as the guys. And I'm tired of this petty catfighting, cross-cutting, slut-shaming, whatever you want to call it, promos. Like, I get they're trying to have Paige drop a pipe bomb, but just, who cares? Okay? Really, who cares? I'm over it. I want them to write the women better. I want the women to go out there and be, I want the women to be what they are in NXT.
You want it to be competition rather than pettiness.
Because what set me off was JBL on commentary, because I actually had the commentary on, was like, see, the Divas can't get along, and they'll never get along. Because that's just basically the message, is that's how women are. And that's not true. That's not true at all. There can be mutual respect from women, and you can still work together or work against each other, but there still can be mutual respect. There can still be understanding. The best example of that is Bayley and Sasha Banks. They're not BFFs, but there's a mutual respect for what the other can do. And they don't, you know, reduce down to, oh, well, I know who you're with last night, and you're only here because you're screwing so-and-so, or you've done this, or you've done that.
Right.
It's like, no, you're here for the same reason I am. We're both going after the same thing. You just think you're better than I am, and I'm going to prove you wrong.
Right.
Those are the kinds of things I want to see happen, where it's like, it's just so unnecessary to slut shame. And speaking of Sasha, where is Sasha? Where is Naomi? Where is Tamina? There's a whole other team that's supposed to be out there and a part of this, and they're not.
Sasha's busy preparing for TakeOver.
I understand this, but she's on the main roster.
Oh, I know. She's on Twitter. She's wondering, Team Bad? What? Where are we?
Yeah, it's like, where is Team Bad? Why aren't they a part of this?
Yeah.
Because they should be. Because they started out in it, and they should be a part of it. And they should look at the Bells, and they should look at Charlotte and Becky and be like, hey, we deserve to be here too.
Correct.
Because you know what? If you're going to have them squabble over who started the revolution, you need to have Sasha walk out there and be like, you know what? Screw you all. I had match of the year.
Yes, you did.
And you can kiss my shoe on that.
Very true.
And if anybody deserves a shot at that title, she does.
Yeah, she does. She's beating Paige. She should be where Paige is, not where Paige, and Paige should be elsewhere.
She's beaten Paige. She's beaten Nikki. And that's the thing is, it's like, technically Sasha should have been a part of the title match because she has beaten Nikki, as Charlotte has. So it's like, it really should have been a three-way, but it wasn't.
Right.
And it's like, dude, just give Sasha her shot.
Yeah, and hopefully we get it at some point.
I hope so.
We had backstage, Dean Ambrose was with Roman Reigns, and Ambrose said, you know, you shouldn't be doing this tonight. You shouldn't be going out there alone and all that fun stuff. And Roman's like, he doesn't care what they have planned. Ambrose said he would be there if anything happened. And Reigns said, well, Orton's here to help. And Ambrose was not like, I don't want an Orton. And hey, there's an Orton.
Dean's entire disgust with the idea of Randy doing anything with them was amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, disgust and displeasure are the two words that just describe it perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little bit of horror. I don't know.
Reigns told them they can't finish with this with the Wyatts on their own. Orton told them to handle his own business with the Wyatts, and then it's open season. Speaking of Wyatts, Luke and Braun defeated the prime time players tonight on Raw.
Well, Luke did most of the heavy lifting, but yeah, it's Luke and Braun.
And Strowman was choking out Darren Young.
Yeah, he was.
And then eventually choked out Titus O'Neil to end that match. Bo Dallas Bo Dallas lost to Randy Orton with an RKO out of nowhere. Neville fought Stardust. Neville wins by disqualification as he got attacked by the returning King Barrett, who then laid out Stardust as well. Stardust tried to squirm away. It's like, oh no, oh no, oh no. And then he got laid out with a hammer. All hail the return of the King, who is really, really, really skinny.
Yeah, he's lost a lot of weight.
Especially in the face. It was scary looking.
Just a little.
Yeah. Bray Wyatt said he'll come to fight alone, and, you know, basically a typical Bray Wyatt promo. He was proud of his men, but he will put Roman down alone. He dubbed himself the Alpha and the Omega, and then said it's always been about him and Reigns, and, you know, he'll end tonight. But it didn't end tonight. No, 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 no. It ended in a double countout with these two men. The match was solid, but then they started to brawl into the crowd. This is where things got interesting.
Oh, this was fun.
So they start brawling into the crowd, and then Bray grabs one of the sound guys, chucks him at Reigns.
Yeah. Just picks him up and throws him. Like, he's nothing. That's a first. It's then, like, okay, so the sound people are now in play for weapons. Somebody put that in WWE 2K16.
Right. Then Bray charges at Roman, drives him through the barricade the opposite way, not the typical way. This was because they were in the crowd.
With
his crossbody gimmick. Then Bray's like all confident and cocky, and he taunts Roman, and then he stands on the announce table. It's like, see, this is my world, bitches. And then, well, Roman Reigns gets up and spears Bray Wyatt through the table.
And they're dead.
That was a good finish to Raw.
I like the finish. I like how you just have Roman and Bray tear each other apart because you're kind of watching their match. It's like, yeah, okay, this is pretty good. You know, pretty standard. And you're waiting for them to just go after each other. And once the double countout happened, that's where everything just breaks loose and they just go for each other, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And I love that Roman looked good. I love that Bray looked good. It was just, it was a really nice way, and you can tell where they're kind of pointing them, which is to the cell.
Which we've been pushing for a while.
Bray Wyatt in the cell. Oh, God, help us all.
Yeah, God, help us all. So that was Monday Night Raw in a nutshell. Overall, solid show. Not a great show, but a solid show. I don't know why everyone thought it was bad.
I thought it was entertaining.
They've been entertaining for a while. But some people like different things, I guess. I don't know. But that'll do it for the Raw Post Show Live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network, which was presented by PW Mania Wrestling Figure Wednesday. Go to youtube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. Thursday night, it's The Rack.
That's right. Tune in, because we are going to be previewing NXT Respect. We're going to break down, let you know what we think and who we believe is going to win. We might also be talking a little bit about the Madison Square Garden show. Maybe, possibly, we'll have to see. But we'll also have news, we'll have notes, and a lot more. So it's The Rack, Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Go listen to The Rack Invades Dragon Con, available at RackRadioShow.com. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube, Rack Radio Show. Check out The Rack Extra Total Divas Season 4, Episode 12, now available. Episode 13 available this week. It's the mid-season finale.
Yes.
Saturday night, CB Radio returns live after 1 week off. At midnight-ish Eastern, you can follow the show on Twitter at CB Radio Live. Facebook.com/CBRadioLive, the website CBRadioLive.com, use the hashtag BlameRob. When a Celebrity Dies, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio with Tim Stein, Mason, and Omega, recapping everything that goes down in the week of wrestling at 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Monday night for another edition of the Raw Post Show Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network at 11:10 p.m. Eastern. You can follow me on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Join the Facebook group, Facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network. You can get us on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. Search Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can follow me on Twitter at Lynn Sword, LANSWRND. You can go to my website, psychboarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/Lynn Sword. Same as the Twitter. And don't forget to check out The Rack Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on wildtalkradio.com.
As mentioned, PW Mania and Wrestling Figure Wednesday are the people who bring you this very program. Go to youtube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. She's Lindsay. I'm Rock. We'll see you Thursday night for The Rack, and right back here along the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network next Monday night for the Raw Post Show. Only right here on WildTalkRadio.com.